Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm here, sounding quite serious, with Lenny, who is positively glowing. How was Safari Mum?
The best thing I've ever done. Next to having my children.
Oh, right, yeah, thank you.
Sorry, just magical.
How were the leopards?
The leopards came probably half a metre away from me, just strolled past, stealthily looking for food. The lions that are... I'm telling you, Jessie, if I'd gone when I was 15 and learned a lot about the male species and saved a lot of heartache.
Why?
Very selfish. Don't look out for food except for themselves, the lions.
Were they the male ones?
Yeah, but the females are the biggest hunters and the biggest killers. I mean, it is the circle of life, definitely. Hakuna Matata. That means no worries.
Well, whilst you've been there, I've been in Los Angeles in the rain.
Yeah.
And I've been back here. What did I eat in Los Angeles that was very, very amazing? I had Holbox. It's a Mexican restaurant. I think it may have a Michelin star now. It's lots of crudo. It's lots of raw fish right up your alley, Mum. And it's in Mercado. And it was really quite beautiful. That was my most memorable meal, I think.
Did you go to Greek then?
Absolutely, of course. The lemony potatoes are still delicious and the
lamb chops. Well, I ate a lot while I was there.
Yeah.
Lots of Swahili recipes.
Oh, yeah.
They do a very nice stew, either with beef or with chicken that has peanuts in.
Yum.
Yeah, I think I might try and make something
Something like that in the Gambia, didn't we? And it with lime.
I think it's an African thing.
Yum.
It's so delicious.
You are very excited about this guest.
Do you think I should give him some of the...
I thought you were going to say something else, Mum.
No, some of the saffron I bought back with me.
Yes.
I might start selling it on the black market. I bought loads of saffron. You know, you pay about £4 for about three...
Strand.
I've got that much. I'll let you have some.
I'll allow you to introduce this guest, Mum.
Right. Well, I've seen him on The Great British Menu, which I'm addicted to, as you know. Love cooking shows. He's always a real kind of breath of fresh air, really talented chef himself, always very helpful to the people who are competing, who are other chefs. I have been very anxious about my food today.
Yes.
Because he's got this look when things aren't quite right with the competitors. It's not, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed look.
Right.
And I just don't want to see that face.
You're not competing though, Mum.
No, I'm not, but I just don't want to see the disappointed face.
Well, we have had a little upset in the kitchen.
Yeah, I've had a problem with my mango. Never try and puree fresh mango. Buy it as a pulp in a tin. I should have done that yesterday, but I didn't because I didn't think it was necessary. So I can't do my mango frosting.
That's okay.
For my coconut cake.
What are you serving today?
So I've done some green pancakes. And I think I saw
this
something...
This is very unlike you. I mean, I know it's been pancake day when we're recording
The pancake day. The thing was, I saw him cook... on his Instagram, something that must have been a matcha sponge, which was very green. I thought it looked interesting. Then I came across a recipe for green pancakes.
So, hon, you've done it because you saw him do a green sponge?
Yeah, kind of.
Right.
I just thought I won't...
Paying homage.
Yeah, I was paying homage. But I think I'm out of my comfort zone completely.
Why?
Because I've never made it before. I've used gram flour, which is interesting. Spinach. I wasn't sure. The consistency was too thick, so I added a bit more milk. And then it was a bit thin. And then it took... You know how your first pancake never works?
Yeah.
Well, there was about four that didn't work.
Oh, right.
And it took me a long time to get it right. So I think they're okay. And also, they were supposed to be 10 centimetres round. I had to get my ruler out to try and make sure that they were going the right way. Anyway, I'm not in my comfort zone. I've made that. I've done roasted tomatoes. Mm. I've baked some leeks that you're going to add some beans and thingies to.
Yeah.
There's a garlicky yogurt dip that he will never be able to speak to anyone today because it's very garlicky. And it has a fried egg on top.
Gorgeous.
So I've got to do that.
He is coming for brunch. Yeah. So that's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
Very excited. Tommy Banks coming up on Table Manners. Tommy Banks is in
my house.
Your house.
Yeah.
Gonna eat your food, Mum.
Oh, Christ.
I'm very excited.
Don't be excited.
She's not.
Because
she's terrified.
I've been very anxious because I love Great British Menu. And you have got that face. I was saying to Jesse, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
that's a very different thing. But I think the other thing about Great British Menu is you're not supposed to give it away.
I know why. I think, do you know, this series, I think the judges have been quite mean.
Oh.
Meaner than normal. And I think the chefs, because I think the chefs are really encouraging the veterans.
Mum, you were just trying to kick one of them judges out so you can get a seat at the table.
What
a job, by the way.
Yeah.
Because competing on it is really tough.
It's so hard.
Stressful. It's exhausting. I mean, incredible. But like when you get to be a judge, you just rock up and eat food and tell people what you think about it.
Yeah.
And you do become a little bit like, nah, that's rubbish. And you sort of start to forget how hard the process.
I mean, I watched them yesterday and the guy who won yesterday, AJ, Scotland.
Yeah.
And they kind
Where does he cook?
And he's Indian and his food was amazing. And it was so hard. And the judge was like, ooh, don't like that, Tom Kerridge. I've never heard him be quite so harsh.
Maybe he was having a bad day.
And they were absolutely exhausted, both of the guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you had the girl, didn't you?
Louisa, she was brilliant.
She was brilliant, but she didn't go through.
No, but... Well, she got through to the judges on the Friday, and she was awesome.
The guy went through.
Adam went through, yeah.
He was great.
Yeah, really good.
Really talented.
Oh, it is, but I think with the judges, it's as the days go on. Because if you've eaten all day, sometimes by the time you're having it, your eighth dish, you're like, yeah, no, I'm not that fussed about that. And the poor chefs put so much effort. The worst is like finals week when they've got to eat like eight main courses. If you're cooking the eighth, you're like, they don't want to eat this.
Oh.
So there's definitely a sweet spot around lunchtime. If you can cook at that time, then they're gonna enjoy it.
Yeah, that's true.
How has your week been? You have come on your own, no entourage for Tommy Banks.
No, well, everybody wanted to come. I've been inundated from everyone in our team, and my wife wanted to come. But I've been down to, it was Valentine's this week, wasn't it? So
you were away for Valentine's?
No, I actually had to cook Valentine's night in our pub. And then get the first train down yesterday, and I was working yesterday, and I've stayed over. And so, yeah, so I'm on my own.
What did you buy her for Valentine's Day?
Oh, so... Well, are you familiar with York or Yorkshire?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Betty's.
I went to Betty's, No, this is it. So that's the only thing I've done. So I went to Betty's and they do these lovely little heart-shaped cookie, shortbread, things with the jam in the middle. So I got one for my wife and one for my little daughter. And yeah, low-key. I mean, we're married now, so it's not...
You don't have to make extravagant gifts.
Just thoughtful ones.
So I tried to go to... one of your restaurants. I tried to go when we were on our way up to Edinburgh when we were doing the festival. This was years ago because I definitely didn't have as many children. And we stayed in an area called Malton.
Yeah, yeah.
So lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
No, quite near you.
Yeah, quite near. Yeah, there's a really cool food festival there as well.
Yeah, there were so many great bits of food that, anyway, I am very sad to say I've never eaten at your. Establishment.
I think we better come, Jess.
We will. Also, the train actually, it's not that long to get there, is it?
Not at all, no. It's about an hour.
From London.
An hour and 50 into York. Yeah, so it's
minor.
It's really commutable. That's the thing. Often when I turn up here and I do something and people are like, oh, it must take you hours. I'm like, an hour and 50. They're like, oh, it took me that long from Essex. You know,
yeah,
it's like
right.
The same thing. So we are, yeah, it's well connected. And I mean, I'm biased, but it's a beautiful, beautiful part of the world.
Is that where you were born?
Yeah, no, I've always lived in North Yorkshire. So that is where I love, because I'm a farmer first before a chef.
Really?
Yeah, so we have a farm. And that's sort of, I'm really passionate about that.
So you're brought up on a farm?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Really,
what
really
did you have
on
your sort?
So it was mixed sort of arable and livestock then. So like I mean, I don't think kids really grow up like this anymore, but I grew up and like we'd milk the cow before going to school and stuff. Like it was proper old fashioned.
Better than being a paper boy. Yeah.
Even though this was like the '90s, when I look at it, it feels like it must have been in black and white. It was so long. It feels so long ago. But now actually it's quite nice because like my niece and nephew live on the farm now and they kind of have the same thing really.
And they're milking the calves.
Yeah, well, calving season's just started, so we've had our first two calves in the last 2 days, and I've been away, so I've been getting the pictures through, and the kids name them, so they're alphabetical. So A, I think it was Annie and Bertie so far.
Do you always do it alphabetically?
Yeah, yeah.
Like hurricanes.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, are they alphabetical?
Yeah.
Storms are, aren't they?
I never knew that. Has your 2-year-old been milking any of the cat, or will she be doing that soon?
Well, she's so grabby, I wouldn't trust her. Poor
she'd probably
cow.
Bite them.
Yeah. No, I think she will do that growing up. I think it's really cool to sort of have that understanding and that interaction. But no, the poor cattle, I wouldn't let her near them. I wouldn't be worried. I'd be worried about their safety rather than hers.
But when you milk now, you're not doing it manually. You put machinery on them.
So there is, yeah, you can use. So we have 2 cows that we milk. So it's not like a big dairy herd.
Yeah.
And my dad tends to milk them on a morning. And he does have a machine, but it very rarely works. So he tends to, I don't know why, he just, he fixes everything not very well. So yeah, he does milk them by hand, yeah.
So, talking about family, who was eating around the dinner table when you were younger? And how many brothers and sisters?
Yeah,
you have?
So I've got one brother, so there's sort of 4 of us.
Who's now got the farm.
Yeah, and my grandma and granddad lived next door on the farm as well. So it was quite a nice sort of family.
It's like the Archers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And mum, I mean, I think everyone's mum cooked from Delia Smith cookbooks, but that's what we had. Like all the Delia classics was what we had growing
up. She's a great cook.
Oh, yeah, I love Delia. Yeah.
And you always are certain it will work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and that's the sort of things that we grew up eating.
So what was a memorable dish from your childhood?
Well, Sunday lunches were the one. But I have a bone to pick with you because I listened to your last episode, which was your Galentine's. And you, what did you say? You cannot get a good Sunday lunch in a
pub. I haven't been to your place yet. I know you're quite famous for your roast.
I think
But I actually agree with you.
Yeah,
you
I love
right.
that you're saying and also you're saying you can't get it in a pub. You're like Michelin star.
Well, we have a Michelin star restaurant. Our pub got voted the best Sunday lunch in the country, and so you've got to come and have that.
Well, fine.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
Maybe
we'll
you redeem pubs.
But I actually think you're right. I think. The thing is, it's something that's quite precious to people. You make it at home and you know how you want it.
Yeah.
Like, I like soggy Yorkshire puddings. Like
me
you
too.
Want straight out the oven, don't you? Whereas, obviously, in a restaurant...
They make them puffy
They
and
take
dry.
Up too much space and they're...
Too big.
You need so much more gravy.
Well, what we do is we make giant ones, but then we fill them with, like, so if you have beef, you have, like, pulled oxtail in it. Or if you have pork, you have pig's cheek. So, you make a toad in the hole with it. And I think that then becomes good.
So was your mum doing anything sexy in the 90s with your roast?
No, God, no. And I was the fussiest eater ever. It really was, yeah.
There's hope for all people listening with fussy children.
Yeah. I was so fussy. Like, I just used to have cheese sandwiches every day. I was terrible.
So did you have the
you
same
and Nigella. Nigella was fussy too.
Was she really?
Yeah.
You wouldn't imagine that because she's
well,
just
her
so...
Well, her mum was very strict as well and they had to finish everything on their plate.
Yeah.
Oh, see... I had that problem too, but we had cats and a dog. So that's where the tactics come in. Like, I mean, it's quite good now having a 2-year-old and she throws all the food on the floor and, well, the dog just eats it. So
yeah.
That's great. I think animals are your friend when you're a child and you have to eat everything else.
So when did things change for you? Was it when, for your, like, your taste buds?
Well, they didn't really. I was a really fussy eater as a teenager. I had no interest in food whatsoever. I didn't want to be a chef.
You wanted to be a cricketer.
Yeah. So I left school sort of after GCSEs with this dream. I was just going to be a cricketer. It's fine.
You were very good.
I was good. I don't know whether I would have made it or not.
So who were you playing for? Were you playing for the county?
Yeah. Yeah. Like representative level cricket. And that was if I didn't make it, that I would be a coach or a physio or I don't know, something in sport.
So in the cricket world.
Yeah, that's I think like a lot of young men, that was pretty narrow-minded on sort of sport.
So you were a terrible eater. You were eating your cheese sandwiches, going off to cricket all the time. Yeah. And then what happened?
So I got a disease called ulcerative colitis when I was 18. So I'm sure lots of people know what that is. But it's basically a disease of your bowel. And that was, it was quite aggressive for me. So I had, I saw 18 months where I had a lot of surgery. I had a colostomy bag. And I was 18 years old at this point.
How miserable.
So yeah, it was pretty rubbish times. But that put a stop to all sport and cricket, and so then I'm this guy with no left school, with no qualifications and no way of, you know, nothing to do really. And mum and dad had used to run a bed and breakfast at the farmhouse, and they kind of thought, well, maybe we'll have a go running the local pub. So they'd taken on the local pub, and I was watching TV and seeing TV chefs and stuff, and I thought, well, I've got to throw myself into something. I was quite an angry young man at the time because, you know, frustrated. I wanted to, and it was a muse I could sort of get into. So I just sort of fell into cooking and worked harder.
Who were the TV chefs that you were looking at? Was it Jamie?
Well,
Delia would have been on, wouldn't she?
Gordon
would have been really big at that point.
Well, you were angry, weren't you?
Yeah. No, I don't think I wasn't angry like Gordon was angry. Okay. I was more like frustrated with the world that I'd been dealt cards I wasn't particularly pleased with. Whereas, no, he's more like idiot sandwich, isn't he? I wasn't like that. But yeah, no, so I think that was sort of a real rise of chefs. So I just sort of threw myself into the kitchen.
So you started watching these chefs, and when did you start tasting differently? Having bowel surgery as well, you probably were having to be really strict with your diet.
Yeah, I probably should have been. I think that's like everyone who has strict with the diet, you sort of know what you're supposed to do and you do the other
but
thing.
Isn't it better if you eat blander food? You have to be careful what you eat.
Yeah, I wouldn't say blander food, maybe just things that are difficult to digest really.
Once you got rid of the, I'm so sorry because is it still,
no, so,
is it flare up? Is it kind of like a...
So a lot of people live with the disease and they manage it and they have flare ups, things like that. Mine was too acute, so I had actually had my whole bowel removed. So I had like 3 bouts of surgery. But that got rid of it. So it was all gone, literally. And then I started on my cooking career. But I think to answer the question, I think it takes a long time. So dishes that you make all the time, you become very confident with them because you know exactly what they should taste like. And I think from a chef's point of view, I think you just have to gain that experience through years.
Did you have training?
No formal training.
Did you work with any famous chefs?
No.
So it was you were involved in the pub.
Yeah, so we obviously employed like head chefs at the pub, and I would like work under them. And then when I was 23, the sort of head chef left, and I just took over. But it was winging it; like I was making it up as I went along. Most of it came out of cookbooks.
But at 23, when you became head chef, did you decide to change up the menu at that point? Did you feel like you knew what you were doing? And when did you basically get your flair that felt your identity as Tommy Banks?
Well, I think it takes a long... You still work... Your identity changes all the time, doesn't it? But I think, no, at that point, it definitely was very generic. I want to change every dish on the menu because I want it to be mine, obviously, ego. But I never left home. I had no experience. I hadn't gone and cooked anywhere. So I largely did it from cookbooks, really. Think big shout out to Phil Howard. He had a really good cookbook at the time. I nicked some of his recipes. But I think the big thing happened sort of later, about a few months later, won a Michelin star. And then suddenly I was the youngest chef with a Michelin star.
How old were you?
24.
Yeah.
So do you kind of feel like Phil won that Michelin star?
Yeah.
I'm joking.
I hope he doesn't listen because he might steal that now. But that was where it was difficult because, like, obviously growing up in the middle of nowhere as well, like, I wasn't used to media or anything. And suddenly, your youngest Michelin star chef.
Yeah.
So I was sitting down with journalists and they were like, you must be some sort of genius. And I was thinking, like, nah, literally, no. massive imposter syndrome. So I was like, oh, God, so I really need to get this thing now, like, this identity, this purpose. So I was like, well, the only thing I know about is farming and growing up in the countryside. So I was like, I'm just going to cook with things that we've farmed, things that we've grown, things that I can forage. And I put these like very strict things in place, these sort of, and that I think promotes a lot of creativity because suddenly you have to make a dish out of what you've got. And that sort of became my style. And then I think we did have very interesting food after that.
Come on, you got a Michelin star. Like, there's a reason you got it. Like, there's...
Reading from a cookbook.
No,
you must have been adapting recipes.
Yeah, I think just also just a ruthless hard work. So at that period, because I was wanting to sort of achieve, I worked every day of the week and I cooked every single dish that left. So I kind of... there was no management. I just literally did it all. And that's how I knew it was going to be good, and I guess that's why we went a Michelin star, because I was single-handedly making everything perfect.
It's right. Talent as well, and also understanding food. And I mean, you could follow a recipe and it might not work. Or it might work brilliantly just because you know how to do it. So you can't... I mean, 24 is really... I can understand
the pressure, but also you... obviously had such drive from a young age, whether that was wanting to be a cricketer.
Mm.
And of course that got derailed so unfairly. And then you're like, I mean, you're tenacious. Like, you've got like this.
Yeah, I think
but were you eating at restaurants to taste different things?
I did start going out and eating, trying things. I remember the first time I went to Gordon Ramsay's restaurants. That was the first, like, the three Michelin star Royal Hospital Road in Chelsea. Okay. It was the first, like, really posh place I've ever been. I remember wearing, like, my school leavers suit, and it didn't really fit because that grown up. I remember feeling, like, so uncomfortable.
Why did you choose there?
Because it was, like, the best restaurant in the country at the time. And I really vividly remember that because I just remember being so nervous and scared. And you look back now, you think, why would you feel nervous and scared about going out for dinner? So I did seek a lot of inspiration from you know, places like that, for sure. But I always make a real point when I see, like, real young, because you often get real young chefs who come and eat in the restaurant, they do look a bit sort of nervous and scared. I always try and make a point of going over and putting them at ease and talking to them, because, like, you should never go out for dinner and feel nervous.
But I do feel like food and dining has changed. Like, yeah, it used to be, when you go to Michelin, it was fine dining, and that meant, you know, it was quite stuffy.
Yeah, totally.
And in a sense, more elitist than maybe it is now, what food that is winning Michelin stars. So I think, you know, you look at something like Thomas Parry with Mountain, that just got a Michelin, I think.
Yeah.
And that is, like, very much like a bustling, vibey restaurant. Where do you like to eat in Yorkshire? Where would you go if you're not eating at your spot? Where would be the first place that you go, and what would be the dish that you would have?
So there's a really cool pizza restaurant called Cresci, which is, it's run by two Italian guys, and it's proper Neapolitan pizza. It's, like, really good. But, you know, like, I just love the way Italians do hospitality. It's, like, really family friendly, so, like, you can take the kids in, it feels really great. And there's just, like, you know, they bring you a little limoncello at the end. You don't want it, but it's kind of nice. It's nice that they've given you it, right?
It feels hospitable. Yeah.
We had a guest on recently, a guy called Jacob Collier, who has limoncello on his rider. I was like, you are the only bugger having that, because no one likes that.
No one likes it. It's like medicine.
Also, the poor, like, that's not something anyone has in their cupboard anywhere, is it? So you know that everywhere he goes, there's some poor runner going out and having to buy
Italian deli. Yeah, right.
Weird rider.
So, what's your pizza order there?
I always have something with a little bit of meat on it, something spicy, but whatever they've got in the specials, and then. Well, shout out to anybody who's in York, but they never have tiramisu on the menu. But if you ask the waitress for tiramisu, she'll wink at you and she'll go in the back and bring
God,
it out.
An off-menu thing. Yeah, we love that.
How cool is that? That's what restaurants should be like.
Is that because it's you?
Well, they must make them real quick if they are making them. I feel like they have them, but it's just like an if you know, you know. And I love that about restaurants.
That's like animal fries in an In-N-Out burger in California.
What?
Yeah, animal fries.
So,
are they?
Well, it used to be a thing, I think. Please tell me. It used to be a thing that wasn't on the menu, but everyone would be like, oh, I'll get the animal fries. And it was just like...
But it's like a fast food chain.
I know, but
it's really, it's really good, though.
It's tasty.
Yeah.
I thought it was awful.
Oh, all right.
But it just tastes like... You know the way... It tastes like it's been chewed before...
That's okay. It's served.
Oh, I kind of know what you mean, yeah.
So is your daughter, your two-year-old daughter, is she a good eater?
Rubbish. She was really good. And now she's gone rubbish. Because often, if I'm, cooking on TV, I'll bring the ingredients home and just do a little run-through at home sometimes because it's sort of too easy at work. And you want to cook on something which isn't very good, like my stove at home. And then you sort of feel equipped to do it on TV, and sometimes I just want to tweak things or whatever. And I'd cook things, and my daughter would just eat them. Like, I remember roasting a whole mallard and at home, and it was like 8 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, to my wife Charlotte, I was like, would you like some mallard? She was like, no, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. And obviously, I'm just doing it so I can just, oh, I'm happy I've done that now before I do it on camera. And I just walk over a mallard breast, and she just eat it. And I was like, wow, my daughter's the daughter of a chef. Now, no, she just eats. Yeah, she won't eat anything, really.
What about your nine-year-old?
Really fussy as well, yeah.
Oh, Matt. Really, well, there's still hope, though, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
You just have to wait, I think, you know, 20 years.
Alex was really fussy.
I think it's all right, though. I think, kids are fussy.
Yeah.
But your wife...
Mm. Yeah, and I want to know how you fitted romance in to this.
I was going to actually just ask what your wife's best dish was, but Ron wants to know a little bit more.
No, I want to know how you met her, because you're busy working... You haven't been well, so you've been at home, and then you start to cook in the pub.
As you say, you were doing every dish. Seven days a week. How did you give yourself time for romance?
So, I mean, I think from that period, I met Charlotte a few years later than that, and I think, but I did start, by that stage, I had a team, and I was doing my own rota. So then, you know, suddenly you start rotoring yourself off on Saturday evenings and things like that.
Where did you see her?
So where did we get? Well, our first date, I actually made a little picnic and we went for a walk. But neither of us ate it. You know when you're really nervous. I obviously
too over, busy kissing.
Not on the first date. Wow, it wasn't that successful. You overcompensate, don't you? So I think I made this huge spread, and then we probably ate next to nothing. So yeah.
What was in the spread? Do you remember?
A picnic sort of things. So we had sausage rolls and
homemade
sandwiches. I think some of it was homemade and some of it was from a deli. Not from M&S, but from a deli. Because I love M&S, but you can tell that it's M&S. Yeah. Whereas I think you can, you know, pull it off a bit more if it's from a deli.
Is it Charlotte?
Yeah, yeah.
Is Charlotte, she's a fan of the podcast, Mum. And we're very sad that you're not here, Charlotte.
Why didn't you bring her?
Because
she wasn't here. Yeah.
Is she a good cook?
She's a brilliant cook. She's a very good baker, much better than I am at that sort of thing.
It's a different skill, isn't it, almost?
Yeah, and also I think cooking at home is a different skill. Like, I make a mess at home, I get frustrated, whereas she just sort of glides around and makes beautiful cakes and stuff. But no, she rang me up yesterday and she's like, have you listened to the latest podcast? And I was like, no. And she was like, you need to listen because Jessie says you can't get a good Sunday roast anywhere. And
that's fine. Thank you, Charlotte, because I will be coming to eat freely... and you will be joining me. Do you want me to do the...
Yeah, you can do the leaves.
Should I do the fried eggs?
No, I'll do them.
Oh, we're having fried eggs.
Well, do you want to know what we're having?
Yes.
Well, okay, she's been very stressed.
I've been very stressed because I wanted to not impress you, but not disappoint you.
I'm just happy to be fed.
I know, but... So I've made these green pancakes.
I'll tell you why.
Because I was looking at all your Instagram posts and I did want to know that piece of beef that you were cooking on the bone.
Oh, yeah.
On a barbecue. It looked so fascinating.
Was it tomahawk?
It looked fabulous. So I noticed that you'd served a green kind of matcha sponge that was a little round thing. That was a dessert, and you were putting, or someone was putting, it was on your Instagram, definitely. I've done these green pancakes that are made with spinach and herbs and gram flour. It's like a high protein thing. Anyway.
Oh, healthy. Yeah,
very healthy.
Gluten free, I think, too, yeah.
Yeah, it's
gram flour. It's chickpea flour. Gram flour is chickpea flour.
So it's got cottage cheese and all different things.
You can go to the gym after this, Tom.
But it was stressful because it looked too thick, so I added some more milk and then possibly shouldn't have added the milk. So, you know, like the first pancake is never very good.
Yeah.
The first three words. And then and also they said 10 centimetres diameter. So I got my ruler out to make sure I was...
Do you think Tommy cares if they're...
I care. Okay. So anyway, I've made these green pancakes and you serve them with a fried egg.
Mum, you're sounding a bit Kathy Bates in Misery at this point. He's literally
running for the door.
Yeah, he is. And garlicky yoghurt. And then we've done, what else? Some roasted tomatoes. And
I've done something that actually doesn't suit it. I've just done some beans and leek with bay leaves and then you can have it on toast and with some creme fraiche.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's a lot.
Shall I get
You're going to be overwhelmed, I think, and a bit
and
like...
I've just been to...
There's no meat, though.
No meat. Do you mind?
I don't mind. No, but we've got eggs.
Oh, he hesitated.
I mean, I'm a Yorkshire farmer, so, like, it is meat, but, I mean, eggs...
But it's brunch, you see. I didn't want to give it... Right. Do you cook your eggs in butter or would you cook them in oil?
Butter.
I would as well. Mm. So I was just going to do that, but I didn't want to upend anyone. So I'll get on, crack on with the egg.
Would you like me to just do it and then you and Tommy can talk?
Well, you can't. No, I don't trust you.
I'm very good at eggs, Mum. I'm actually really good at eggs. Fine. Thank you.
You need to sort your leeks out.
I will.
Okay.
You carry on. So, would you like two eggs?
Yes, definitely.
Ooh. There's more eggs in the fridge, Jess. That's...
Do I need to warm up the pancakes?
They're warm, I think, because they're in here.
And where's the yoghurt?
It's in the fridge. You see, this is why it's easier to do it myself.
Just let me do it.
No, it's easier, I'm telling you.
I love... This is actually everybody's family dynamic, though.
Yeah.
I said, no, you don't need that. Unless you want to put it on, I was going
to
leave
Would you like him to assemble his own pancake?
No.
So I obviously grew up in a bed and breakfast, so every morning going ready for school, Mum and Dad were doing breakfast service.
Yeah.
They only had like six people in, but this is what it was like. My dad would do fried eggs and toast, and my mum would do everything else.
And
they would try and coordinate it, and they would bicker and fight, and you'd just sort of get your school bag on and just sneak out the back door. Oh, they look great.
Well done. They're all... No, darling, we don't want to serve it up like that.
That's like very, very Instagram, that, isn't it? Putting the pan down.
Not very Instagram. It's very what Jessie does. So we ask everyone, what's your last supper?
Yeah.
And you've heard what Jessie's would be.
Yeah, I also heard... I quite liked yours more, actually.
Thank you.
Chicken liver parfait or duck liver parfait.
I love that.
Yeah? I mean, I love something like that as a starter.
Do you like chutney with it?
Do you know...
Someone said to me they don't like chutney with chicken liver parfait.
Yeah, I'm not that fussed about it. Like, it's same with cheese. Like, I just want to eat the cheese. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I like all the bits.
Yeah, I'd be really happy just...
Eat
like with
start,
the
because I'm...
Yes, chef, sorry.
Can we get some butter out?
There
is nice butter there.
I was going to say steak tartare, but I'm going to have a Sunday roast.
Do you have steak tartare?
I'm going to have Sunday roast, though, for my main course. I can't have beef and then beef. Oh, I can have roast. I can have roast pork rather than roast beef for the main course. Yeah, because I love crackling.
Are you a good crackling maker?
I am. I'd like to think I am a good crackling maker, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, let's go.
So you're going to have a roast?
Steak tartare. I'm going to have the roast pork with all the trimmings, my Yorkshire puddings.
What is it like?
It's delicious. The pancakes are lovely.
And do you like them?
Yeah, the fried eggs are perfect.
Thank you.
So if we put in probably a trifle, like, it's just a great dessert. It's got everything, hasn't it? Custard, cream, sponge, jelly, booze, fruit.
Do you put jelly in yours? I don't.
Oh, really not?
Just
trifles have jelly in, right?
No, but I don't like the jelly. So I just put raspberries in.
Mm.
But really soak the sponge with the raspberries. So that's how I like it.
Fair enough.
Did you get the chilli?
I love this. She's
I'm telling you what you're allowed to have.
Your last supper,
okay,
it's
fine. Which jelly, which flavour? Raspberry, strawberry?
Strawberry trifle, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, strawberry and raspberry together would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the custard and the cream.
Custard and cream is exceptional.
Last Christmas, my wife actually made a Nigella recipe, and it was rhubarb trifle, but it had vermouth in it. Had red vermouth in it.
Oh, yeah. Is it good?
Oh, so nice,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want a little bit of that on there? Or are you okay?
I'm good. This is delicious. Thank you.
What's your... You know, you've been in London. What's your first stop for food in London?
Oh, that's such a good question. I'm always in London for work, not for not usually for pleasure. But me and my brother, so we run a restaurant at Lord's Cricket Ground.
So when do you do that? When it's
when all the Test matches are on. So how it's fabulous! Honestly, it's the dream.
But do you go and be able to watch as well?
Oh yeah, I get. I've got
head chef in it.
The first,
not even head chef. Like, are you just like kind of?
Well, the first year I ran around a lot and it was really busy. But I've managed to get to a point where I'm better operating it, so I can spend a lot more time watching.
We have. I don't know if he's a friend, but he's the person that told me about you years ago. Felix White.
Oh, Felix, yeah.
You've known him for a long time, right?
Well, so Felix, obviously Maccabees, but...
Oh, were you a fan of the Maccabees?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I'm a massive cricket fan as well, yes. And that's where he's like tragically in love with cricket in the same way that I am. So I sort of met him through Tail Enders, his podcast, which is sort of, it's like super popular. And yeah, he's got an amazing book actually.
So good.
Yeah.
And it's just
it's always summer.
Always summer somewhere.
It's always summer somewhere.
And it's sort of his sort of life, but through cricket, and that's how I sort of grew up. Like, I can remember tragic things in my life or great things in life by what was happening in the cricket. Like, I'll always know that Ben Duckett got 100 on the day that I was recording Table Manners with you guys, because that's what's happened this morning. Yeah. So, and that's the sort of thing. And I don't really know anybody else who's that tragically in love with cricket. And then obviously met Felix, and he really is.
He is mad about it.
Cricketers Anonymous. I don't know. It's like, it's an addiction, isn't it?
Who's your favourite cricketer?
Oh my God, who's my favourite cricketer? See, that's sort of, as a kid, like, you obviously have favourite cricketers, whereas kind of meet people nowadays. I mean, I'm a Yorkshireman, so I'm going to, like, I know Johnny quite well. Johnny Bairstow is like probably one of my favourite players. Or Ben Stokes. Jimmy Anderson. Do you know Jimmy? Yeah. So he's obviously...
I know his name, yes.
So he does the podcast with Felix. And he's... So Jimmy's...
Isn't he someone that they've just brought back in?
So he's 42.
Yeah.
And he's still... And he's a fast bowler. So fast bowling's like the hardest, most
and
taxing thing.
And you have to run and everything.
Yeah. And he does... And he still performs at 42. He's like the best... player.
Were you a fast bowler?
Yeah, but not.
Maybe there's time for you.
Oh, come again as a fast bowler. I don't know. He's like in incredible shape. I think that's just like very inspiring that someone can do it. Like, he's been here for like 20 years. Like, how do you have that stamina to want to do it for that long?
I'm going to change because I find cricket so boring. I'm so sorry. I do. I don't get it. I never get it. Felix... He talks about it with such passion. It goes on and on and on.
Oh,
and maybe
yeah.
I'd go because your food would be good.
5 days of it.
Yeah, fuck that.
And it's so near.
It's near and you're cooking. Maybe I will try it.
No, come.
What do you drink when you're sitting there?
Watching the cricket. Well, the amazing thing about Lord's is you're allowed to bring a bottle of wine in with you.
So you bring your own.
You're kidding.
Yeah. So imagine that as a sport. Right.
That's good, isn't it?
All right, I'm going to give you an elevator pitch for cricket.
Okay.
Right? It's a game that is... built around eating. You stop for lunch.
Okay, now we're talking, Tommy.
You stop for afternoon tea. Mm-hmm.
No, stop.
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
So it might be 5 days long, but you start at a very leisurely 11 o'clock in the morning.
Then even you have, when you're playing locally, darling, they have tea.
No.
Yes.
Yeah. You have full cooked three-course lunch at 1 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock, you have a full afternoon tea with cake, sandwiches.
No wonder they're taking so bloody long.
Yeah.
Jesus, they could cut that whole game down to one day and say, but I do like the food thing.
Yeah, exactly. So it's...
So do the cricketers have the three-course meal too?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's the...
No, stop. And they have the afternoon tea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's like any other sport, you'd be so elite sport, you know, you'd have to look after your diet. Like they get... And then like they just... Like you have afternoon tea with a cup of tea.
Oh my God, I'm going to be
like, it's the only only game where tea is performance enhancing.
They're going to have to watch their weight though, otherwise they can't run.
Well, the thing with cricket is because it lasts so long, and say if you're a bowler, you don't bat, so you might get like a day where you just get to put your feet up in the middle of it.
Oh, or okay, vice versa. You are selling it to
me. Yeah, you see them on the scoreboard with their feet up on that little pavilion thing.
Yeah, they're playing Sudoku or something with the shades on, just eating. Yeah.
I'm actually... You've turned me.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I know we're cooking you eggs now, but how do you like your eggs in the morning?
I have eggs every morning.
So does Nigella. Put eggs on toast.
I usually have an omelette.
Okay, what's in it?
Cheese and ham. Just really simple. So I have that most mornings, or...
You don't ever do a little flourish? Like, will it be a sexy cheese, or will it be like a good cheddar?
Herbs? Ideally, two cheeses. So you want a nice hard cheddar, and then something gooey like a brie or a camembert.
In an omelette?
Oh, because it's so rich and delicious.
Oh my God, I've never ever heard of gooey brie in an omelette.
Oh, and you'd have that in the morning?
Yeah.
I love that.
Every morning, yeah. No colour on it. So your knob of butter goes in, you melt it, eggs go and you fold them.
Salted or non-salted?
Yeah, salt, yeah.
Have you seen The Bear? When she made the omelette?
I tried to watch The Bear, but I found it too triggering.
And loads of cooks say that, chefs say that.
But
think you've got to move on to watch that omelette being made. Maybe it's on...
I've copied the omelette.
Is it? Yeah. So maybe that's probably how I make my omelette.
I need to know, is it a French style one where you, in the morning, do you really care enough to like, almost like it's going to be scrambled eggs, so creamy, and then let it set?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Does it always look beautiful?
Yeah. But I've done it 1,000 times. So, and I make my wife, she doesn't like, she thinks it's too rich in the morning, so she likes boiled eggs. And I was getting really angry recently because I'd be making her boiled eggs, and I would always mess them up. So I'd make me a beautiful omelette, her boiled eggs, and I'd always overcook them. And I was like getting really annoyed with it.
How many minutes do you cook your boiled
Well, this
eggs?
Was the problem. And then obviously, if she didn't eat them straight away, then they'd overcook because they'd sit there. And I was just actually really annoyed with it. So I actually bought one of them little egg cookers. Have you seen them? They're like, £8 off Amazon. And it's like this little dome. And you put in your eggs and some water and you turn a dial and it literally cooks them perfectly every time.
I'm getting one.
So selfishly, I can then spend more time on making my omelette beautiful. And then I have perfect boiled eggs for
What's your poor children eating?
Oh, well, she doesn't eat, does she? So it's fine.
Do you think you've got good table manners?
Oh my God, now I'm thinking. I spilled egg on myself.
That's okay.
And I spilled a little bit on the table.
Don't worry.
I think so. I think there's a fair bit of etiquette when you run restaurants. So I think so.
Do you care about table manners?
No, I don't. I mean, I feel like I'll try and teach my kids to have good table manners, but I think it's about feeling comfortable. And like, I came into your house today. I'm having brunch at your house today, and like, I feel really comfortable and happy and
relaxed. Is that because we argue? I want to ask you a little question. Do you think that sous chefs should be supportive or interfere? Do you feel you're falling into a trap?
By the way, that
feels a really loaded question.
She's asking because she said that I had too many opinions today and I was the sous chef today. So don't
worry. I think
it's
my house, my cooking, and then you see how she took over.
Yeah, I think you need to sort of maybe just work on the overall dynamic. And,
I think there's no chance of that.
Do you think Lenny should not scream at me?
Well...
How do you treat your sous chef?
I wouldn't scream at my sous chef, but I, working in a family business and working with my brother, because my brother's 2 years older than me, and we fought like cat and dog. And I actually don't think you can compare family to any other relationship.
I agree.
And that's the beauty of it.
Because it's okay to
swear and tell me to fuck off. Yeah.
But it's then kind of fine as well, because it's family. Like me and my brother, they might have like scrapes and fights we get into with one another. And it was so embarrassing in front of all the team. But it's kind of all right because it's your brother. You absolutely could not treat any other human being the way that you treat your siblings, though, could you?
No.
So I think that's a different dynamic. Oh, my God.
Well, oh, your God is... I'm not a baker, so it might not be...
Do you want another cup of tea with that?
Jess, could you move his plate,
darling? I'd love another cup of tea. I can clear my own plate.
No, I can't. Oh, my God. Right, I'm not a baker, but I just had so much coconut while I was away, and I just thought...
So what's in the cake, then?
Coconut. Desiccated coconut. Oh, it feels a bit hard.
I'm quite interested, because I don't like desiccated coconut.
Oh, for God's sake, don't have it.
Shut up.
I'm going to try this, though. I call it defecated coconut, because I just think it's not the best, but I'm really interested to try.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
My diploma.
The bomb you just dropped.
The diplomacy's gone out the window.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. This is passion fruit whipped cream with a bit of cream cheese in it, too.
That looks awesome.
You can hide the defecated coconut.
Yeah. That looks lovely. But, like, bounties are always the one that's left in the tin.
Oh, no, that's my first one out.
Stop it.
We could spend Christmas together.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think...
How much is it offending you?
It's not. I much prefer this to a bounty. I hate bounties. They are terrible. I thought...
Eventually, they taste very coconutty.
They would take them out because I thought no one actually ate them, but apparently you
guys
eat them.
I would buy them specially.
Oh. I think it's the texture thing, though, more than the flavour of coconut. It's like you put your molars together, you can kind of like the squashes, doesn't it? Like, so a little bit squashy.
Apart from desiccated coconut, which has just been served to you, what would be the thing that stays in your store, in your larder, that you just kind of go, I should be using this, but I can't be faffed?
Oh, I don't know. But I'll tell you what I really don't like is baked beans. So I would never take them out of the cupboard.
Have you noticed them over there as well? Because I can't fit them in.
I gave you beans as well. Today.
Oh, no, I like... beans? No, it's baked beans. I think people have this nostalgia thing like, oh, I love beans. And I'm like, why though? They're horrible. Like,
what's your problem with them?
Well, they don't have a lot of flavour. They're kind of just sweet.
Yeah.
And the texture's rubbish. And the sauce is kind of... I also think it might be like a trauma thing as well, because in kitchens... That is, like, if the kitchen is just so busy and they don't have time to make a proper staff meal, they just do, like, beans. And maybe that's association as well. But, oh, God, I can't stand baked beans. And it's always on a breakfast as well, isn't it?
Do you do a nice version of baked beans if you do a breakfast thing?
I just don't do them. No. Because I was in the hotel this morning, I was watching people ladling the beans out of them big tureens. I was like, oh, God.
Which hotel were you in?
I don't even know what it's called. One day, Westminster.
What about a jacket potato?
Oh, absolutely not. That's like the worst. See, that is what people say. They're like, oh, jacket potato with beans and cheese.
I said it last week, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last Supper.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really...
Oh, yeah.
Why would it offend you so much, though? Oh. But it's good with the potato.
It's not.
On toast?
No, I hate them. I really hate baked beans.
Okay, so anyone who is potentially going to go on Great British Menu...
Don't cook baked beans.
Don't do baked beans or coconut. Yeah. Coconut, you do coconut like...
No, I like the flavour of coconut.
But it's
the texture of desiccated.
Okay, well, I think we've got away with this because it's kind of few and far between.
It's got it on top.
Yeah, but this is really tasty. It's nice. But yeah, not beans. Not beans.
Tommy, before you go, and I book my reservation for your roast, what is a nostalgic taste or smell from, well, it doesn't have to be from your childhood, but something that brings back and evokes lots of memories, happy or sad?
Mint. So my grandma and granddad used to have, like, you know what mint's like, if you have it in your garden, it just goes crazy and grows. They had this massive mint bush, and they always used to put it in, because I think they had loads, they put it in everything. And then everything used to get cooked in a pressure cooker as well. So when you come round, it would just smell of mint. And I think that just brings back lots of happy memories. Like, all the potatoes always cooked with mint. I think that's delicious, and lamb and things like that. So yeah, that flavour of, that smell of mint, I really like.
I love that. Do you like karaoke?
I mean, I'm literally tone deaf. I can't sing.
Okay. But what would you sing if you could?
Oh, like a ballad.
A ballad?
Well, you have to really, don't you, for karaoke.
I mean, thought you might rap.
God, really?
Rock and roll, yeah.
I don't know. I think, well, for karaoke, you've got to go for something really super cheesy,
so
haven't you?
Okay, so tell me which song.
I would sing like Tina Turner or something if we were doing karaoke.
Sympathy the Best? no. Or What's Love Got to Do with It?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, or Cher. I like Cher.
Yeah, Turn That Time?
Yeah.
Believe?
Believe was, I remember being a kid and I remember being on Top of the Pops and thinking that was really cool. Yeah, Believe would be cool.
Do you ever get to go to festivals?
Sometimes, like cooking at festivals, definitely. Oh. Yeah.
Are you cooking at Wilderness this year?
No, but I have done before. Yeah. It's a really weird dynamic that, because obviously everyone's off the face and you're sort of supposed to, and people paying a lot of money for what you're cooking as well. I've done the chef's table there where it's like you have like 24 people sat around and you're cooking. And like the first, so you do like four sittings a day. So 12 o'clock is actually like really quite civilized and people are really into the food. And the second lunch one's a bit more like boozy. The two in the evening, like a couple of years ago I did it, I just had two people who were totally naked.
You're joking.
Which is like cool, but like you're like supposed to be doing these full dish descriptions. You'd be like, yeah, so we poached the chicken for this long, caramelized it, and you're shaving a bit of truffle over it, and you're just like looking at them, you're like, you've got no clothes on. And they're just like, yeah.
Why did they have no clothes?
Because they're at a festival and having a nice time.
I've never seen that, Jesse.
I mean, look.
Have you been somewhere where I will be dressed when I'm at the chef's table?
If you've been to Wilderness, where, do you know where the chef's table is? There's like a beautiful lake and everyone goes swimming in the lake. So they came out out of the lake, and as they came out, I was like, oh, not wearing anything. And they just came out.
How did they pay? They've got no pockets.
Oh, I think you pay beforehand.
Okay.
Was that really the thing?
I just wondered.
Yeah. So it's this kind of like, yeah, you get into it. By the evening, you start drinking with everyone because it's like, you can't take yourself
to... beat him, join him.
Yeah, or you can't be like shaving truffle over someone's dinner while they've got the boobs out. You know, it's just like, doesn't work.
I would not wear... But you wouldn't know where to look, would you really?
No, you just...
A nice breast of chicken.
You really don't. But you know, it's like with things that you just like, you can't... You just don't look, do you? So you don't make eye contact, you don't do anything.
Oh, God, that's so awkward.
Yeah. It must have backfired on them, though, because they must have thought, well, this will be really cool. We'll just be naked. And when you sat there for 2 hours having a dinner cooked for you, suddenly...
A bit chilly.
Probably feel very naked, I think.
Tommy, thanks so much for being on the podcast. It's been such a pleasure to chat to you.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you for having me. And the food was delicious.
You're so sweet. You're not angry?
No, I'm not disappointed. I don't think it was worth the stress that you went through.
Okay, I agree. I was going to give you fried eggs with a bit of sage and Ravinder Bogle said, just give chefs simple stuff. But I'm sure he appreciates
it. It was delicious and clean plates.
And I hope your garlic subsides by the time you get home.
Yeah, apologies to Charlotte.
Yeah.
Well, Tommy Banks is just lovely.
Still swooning.
I kept on thinking that I had like a Peaky Blinder in the room with like his name. I kept on thinking, Tommy Banks, I don't know.
He does sound like a rock star, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah.
Probably. He'll probably end up putting an album out because he's so prolific.
He's a very good advert for Yorkshire.
I mean, in what sense, Mum?
Well, because he inspires kind of like Yorkshire, the land, the pubs, the food, the cricket.
The men.
No, he's very, very handsome.
We had a really lovely time talking to Tommy. He was I think he was quite surprised that
it was as real as it was.
As,
chaotic and real
as possible.
Made him feel at home.
But he does have the most garlic breath because I can taste it. It's lingering.
Yeah. Well, he didn't look too disappointed or angry.
But you did give him something that he absolutely hates, which none of us would have known.
But why don't people tell you so you don't make the biggest faux
pas?
Also,
Tommy, do you have good table manners? Yeah, I think so. By the way, I hate desiccated coconut as you place it down on the table.
But he did eat it all.
He did. The cream was very nice.
God, and he hates bounties. I mean, I don't know people that hate bounties.
It does make me trust him slightly less.
Yeah, me too.
But hey. You know, yeah. Tommy Banks, thank you so much. You can go to any three of his restaurants. You can spot all the exciting stuff that has coming out at the end of the year. He's got produce that you can order online. He's got wine. He's got pubs. He's got Michelins. He's got everything, to be fair.
We'll speak to you next week. Thanks so much for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.